Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. I have spoken to many Latter-day Saints and asked them very specifically that if they had the choice between the Bible or the Book of Mormon, many of them would much rather take the Book of Mormon. Have you experienced that as well?
I have, absolutely.
And it's always intrigued me because when you look at the Book of Mormon, it certainly has a lot of stories to tell, but a lot of it's kind of questionable. But I'm wondering, well, why is that? Is it probably because Article 8 says that they believe the Bible to be the Word of God only as far as it's translated correctly? In other words, they look upon the Bible as not something to be really trusted. And then we get into the whole, is it really translated correctly or transmitted correctly? And we can spend a whole show on that. But I think there's a lot of doubt regarding the importance of the Bible, even though it's part of the standard works in the Mormon Church. But the fact is that when you look at the Book of Mormon, there really is no New World Book of Mormon place name that's ever been discovered. We don't know where the land of Zarahemla was, for instance. And it names a lot of these place names that Mormons have no idea where they existed. Now, there's been a lot of theories. There's basically three theories that Mormons do have where these Book of Mormon lands could be located. Of course, these are known as the hemispheric model, which includes the north and southern hemisphere, North America and South America in the western hemisphere. And then we have the heartland model, which is very popular among people like Rodney Meldrum or Glenn Beck. And of course, that places the Book of Mormon lands in a more North American setting, primarily in the United States area. Probably the most popular, though, would be the limited geography theory, most popular being because this is what a lot of BYU professors believe and espouse, is that the Book of Mormon lands were really in a very small area down in Central America. And what's always bothered me is that even though there are a lot of these Book of Mormon lands tours, they're really based on speculation. I mean, I've seen the list for some of these tours, and there's something troubling when you have to look at places that they are going to visit and they preface them by saying, well, this place is a good candidate for, and then they name some place in the Book of Mormon, or they'll say, well, this is thought to be, and then also give a name in the Book of Mormon, or this could be or may be. And I find with the Bible that we don't necessarily always have to preface place names like that. One of the things that impressed me, Eric, is when we went back to Israel back in 2009, and that was my first trip. It wasn't yours, but it was fascinating for me to be able to see the actual places that I see mentioned in the Bible. Now, are all of them to be found? No. Archaeology hasn't uncovered a lot of things, and you have an answer for that because, you know, there was this golden age, you say, of archaeology, and there just hasn't been a whole lot of archaeologists to be able to find a lot of these places that it mentions.
Well, archaeology in the Holy Land didn't really start until after the 1800s, and really in earnest with William F. Albright in the early 1900s. So let's just say that even if it's 200 years, even though not really as much as the past maybe 50 years, archaeology has been taking place, and yet they find so many different things that help confirm the story of the Bible. It does not prove the Bible to be true, but it confirms. Here's an instance for you, Bill. I think you enjoyed going through Hezekiah's tunnel.
That was incredible.
We walked through Hezekiah's tunnel. It's still bringing water in from the Pool of Siloam into the old city of Jerusalem, and it's 1,700 feet. And we walked through this tunnel that's some places it's 15 feet high, some places it's only about 8 feet high, and chiseled. You can still feel the chisel marks from 2,700 years ago. It's a real place. And what's talked about in 2 Kings is real, that there really was a tunnel that was built to be able to get water into the city of Jerusalem.
That kind of stuff was one of the issues that I think the Lord really used to open my eyes to the truthfulness of the Bible. When I realized that, gee, this book speaks of real people and real events. Now, as you said, even that doesn't prove the spiritual message, and I admit that it doesn't prove the spiritual message that's in the Bible. But I had to kind of go in baby steps, and first of all, I needed to know, is this book even reliable on all areas, in all areas of life, or as far as the archaeology is concerned, I should say, because if it's not talking about real people and real events, that's just a myth, then what does that say about the spiritual message? And see, that's the problem I've always had with the Book of Mormon. I can't get first over that first hump, you know, to start even listening to the spiritual message of it, because first of all, they say I have to pray Moroni's prayer, but they can't even demonstrate to me that there even could have been a person named Moroni who was actually a Nephite.
Right.
Again, I have to have faith in order to just go to that step. And I've explained this to Mormon missionaries, and I think I actually convinced one who was sitting in my home that I had a pretty good point on that. A lot of that has to be taken by faith, and certainly there is faith in the Christian faith. That's why it's called a faith, right. Obviously. But it speaks of real people and real events. And as I mentioned, going to Israel was a very encouraging thing for me, because not only does it demonstrate that these places are really there, but it also puts in my mind whereabouts they are located. So when I read the gospel stories, I can kind of get an understanding of how many miles it was from this point to this point, how far across it was, the Sea of Galilee, and things like that.
It changes the way you read your Bible, Bill. There's no doubt about it. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that Bethlehem and Jerusalem are only 5 miles, 6 miles apart. And when you actually go there, you go, oh, we're in Bethlehem already. It's just amazing to be there and experience that. But I have had so many people, I usually take students with me, and whenever I take those trips, they come back later and say, I'm reading my Bible again. It's making sense. I'm getting the idea of knowing the geography and knowing these different places.
You know, they often say that if you go to Israel, you're going to be converted, and you're going to see it as a complete change in your life. And when you read the Bible, it's going to be completely different. You know, I kind of took that with a grain of salt, but after going there, I was sold on that idea. Now when I read the Bible, I mean, it has a whole different thing for me. We are planning on going to Israel in 2013. We've been planning this trip for a while. We've been advertising it. You've probably been hearing the little commercials after our program. But we are going to be going back. And if you've never experienced this, or even if you have, this is going to be a fun trip, because we're going back with some local pastors. We're also going to go back for some Christian apologists. Sandra Tanner, we're hoping, is going to be coming with us as well. And oh, she's a kick. If you've ever been with Sandra, she is a nut. I love Sandra to death. She is so funny. Why don't you tell people very quickly, we have a few minutes left, and talk about that trip that we're going to be having in February of 2013.
Well, before I start, let me just say what the name of it is. It's called the Apologetic Study Bible Tour to the Holy Land. The website is the same thing. It's www.theapologeticsstudybibletour.com, and I'd invite anybody to go on there and they can see more. This trip is going to take place in 2013. We're going to be in Israel and Turkey starting February 19th and being done on March 6th. Now, the part to Turkey is going to be a pre-extension, so you do not have to go to that one, but that pre-extension is $1,149 if you'd like to do that. 7 days, we're going to the seven churches of Revelation. We're going to go to Pergamum, Ephesus. We're going to be in Istanbul. We're going to go to the archaeological museum there. That's just incredible. But going to all seven of the churches, and I've been there before to most of those cities. It's amazing. And then after that pre-extension that we're doing from February 19th through the 25th of 2013, then we're going over to Israel. Those who are just coming with us to Israel, join us in Istanbul, and then we're catching a flight over to Tel Aviv, and we're going to be there from February 24th through March 6th. Let me talk about the price. The price is $3,349. That's all inclusive. $3,349. I know it's a lot of money, but we're doing this early enough. Hopefully you can save money each month to get yourself ready for that.
That's for the Israel part.
That is for the Israel part. The pre-extension is an additional $1,149. That all-inclusive cost includes all your meals, all your transportation, except for, and I'll mention what's not included in just a second. It includes your admission fees. It includes taxes and tips. And a lot of trips like this, Bill, do not incorporate that in, and they put that in the fine print, does not include this, that, and the other. We've put everything up front, so there's no surprises. The only things it does not include would be your domestic air going over to Chicago if you're going to go on both parts of the trip, or to New York if you're going to just Israel only. You have to get your way there domestically.
And a lot of people can use their frequent flyer miles to get to that place.
Absolutely. And so that now, so we decided not to take it out of Salt Lake City because we do have people coming from Virginia and some other places, and so we wanted to make that available to them. If you sign up with a $300 deposit and do that by January 31st, then you're going to get $100 off the $33.49. It makes it $32.49, which I'm going to tell you, for all the things you're going to get here, we're going to do so much, Bill. We're traveling throughout Israel, going on a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. We're going to do baptisms in the Jordan River. We'll have communion in the Garden Tomb. We'll be up at Masada. We're going to spend a night at a resort at the Dead Sea. We're going to spend two nights at the Sea of Galilee, have a chance to go up into Northern Galilee. We're going to spend five nights in Jerusalem. And by the way, all of the hotels we're staying at are four-star hotels. They are beautiful hotels. You've been to them, Bill. And
they're great. They really are.
And the food, breakfast and dinner, are served as buffets. Lunches are also not included. So domestic air as well as lunches. Average lunch that we spend out there is about $7. But we're also going to have a special day with Joel Kramer, who has been in Utah for a while. And about 5 or 6 years ago, he moved to Israel. He's going to spend a day with us on the West Bank. And so there's so much that's going to be available here. Here's what I'm going to say, Bill. If you're interested in this, we're probably going to have something in January at Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan. It will be an evening, an hour and a half, and we're going to do that sometime in January. Write me and ask me when that date is. I'm going to give you my email, E-R-I-C, Eric, at mrm.org. Write me and ask me about that. Also, if you're interested in this, you can call Melissa at Maranatha Tours. Her phone number is 602-788-8864. That's 602-788-8864. The Apologetic Study Bible Tour.com is a place to go, Bill.
And there is a link at mrm.org if you need more information. It's going to be an incredible time. It's going to be a fun time, and it's going to really talk about faith promoting. It's going to be incredible. Hope you can join us February 2013.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave One and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information, or call 602-788-8864.